Thank you for listening to the serialized podcast version of The Mark of a Druid, a fiction fantasy novel written and read by Rhonda R. Carpenter. I suggest that you start the story at the beginning, and to be sure that you get all of the episodes, go to themarkofadruid.com or rhondacarpenter.com. Episode 14. Chapter 22. The 11th Year, Part 2. Andrea listened to Eve speak during trance. She felt oddly removed from the mechanics of the process, while distantly absorbed in the story that Eve told through Alian's eyes. Andrea's hand held an ink pen, its tip pressed lightly against the page. In the small recorder, the tape spun on, capturing Alian's story. Or was it a theme story? Andrea wasn't sure anymore. Standing close to the central fire of the dwelling, Alian turned a large shank of meat on the spit. The smell was tantalizing, and her mouth watered even though she was not hungry. Excitement filled the air. The hairs on the back of her neck stood erect. The static charge came like a premonition swirling around her. She tilted her head as if listening to a faraway voice. The message became clear. Dubjila was coming, and she had news from the council. Dubjila's shadowed form filled the doorway. "Where is Athene?" the old healer asked. "She's with Brenna, identifying herbs." Alian wanted to confirm her feelings, but knew that she should appear patient. She did not ask what the decision was. Dubjila entered. "Good. We must be back at Xavier's by midday, so that the council may impart its decision." "Very well, I will ask Brenna to keep Athene until we come for her." "No, Athene is to be in attendance, by request of the council." She was surprised that the council would want to have her sister present. Her mind attempted to grasp the reasoning behind the request. She decided if she were making the same decision, she would want to hear Athene's speech problem for herself. With a nod, Alian dashed out the door and returned shortly with Athene in tow. With freshly scrubbed faces and hands, the sisters hesitantly approached the three high-ranking druids. Athene pulled back on Alian's hand. Holding her emotions at bay, Alian knelt in front of Athene and looked deeply into her sister's crystalline blue eyes. She gingerly reached up for Athene's snow-white hair and tucked the loose strands behind the child's ear. "'Tis important that we speak to the council. I promise the elders will not harm you. Do you understand?" Alian asked. "I understand." She clamped, her mouth closed. Her eyes darted about the room to see who could have heard her speak. Her chin dimpled as she visibly held back fear and embarrassment. The 11-year-old asked no questions, but simply nodded her agreement, while holding Alian's gaze, drawing strength from her elder sister. Alian rose and squared her shoulders. She drew herself to her full height and took Athene's hand once more. They both held their heads high and approached the council. Arthfiel's hawk-like features softened, and he smiled tenderly at the two girls. Xavier rose from the fur-covered bench and spread his arms in greeting and acceptance. Matok nodded toward Alian. She noticed for the first time that he had an indentation in his right cheek. His eyes were sparkling gray, and for just an instant, Alian felt he was communicating with her without voice. The feeling was reassuring and comforting. She relaxed, and Athene seemed to be responding in the same way. Her grip loosened, and her small hand rested in Alian's slightly larger hand. Xavier's voice was resonantly baritone. In a practice projection, he spoke directly to Alian. "Alian of the Red Hair, daughter of the Standing Stones, you have made a formal request of this council." He let his words hang in the air for a long moment. "We understand your concern for Athene of the White Hair, and we agree that in order for Athene to speak clearly, there will need to be assistance from the other world. We have only two inquiries before we give our edict." At this, he sat down. Arthfiel stood and looked directly at the youngest sister. "Athene of the White Hair, Do you understand what your sister has requested? Yes, she said meekly. Good. Then I will ask my question of you. Do you wish to participate in this healing? Athene nodded. It is safe for you to speak here, lass. Speak, Arthviel said. I must be understood. Her answer seemed almost a desperate plea. And why is that, lass? Asked Arthviel. If I am to be a twoof, Saya, then I must speak queerly. She bowed her head and waited. Her answer had been matter of fact. She was correct. If she were to be a truthsayer, then she would need the ability to easily communicate her findings. Matok stood, and in unspoken respect, Arthviel relinquished his position by sitting back down. The youngest member of the council cleared his throat and stepped in front of Alian. He knelt before her, meeting her eyes. He sent her a message that she believed she alone could hear. I am honored by your presence, and when the time comes for you, I will be there if you call to me. He grasped her free hand and slipped an object into her palm, closing her fingers around it. He asked her a most disturbing question. As you are not fully trained in crossing the veil, I must ask if you are resolved in this undertaking. You know full well you may never be able to return to this realm. The last was said with such emphasis that Athene started and pulled back from her sister. Alian, breaking eye contact with Matok, held tightly to Athene's hand and looked at her charge. I would give this life and the next to help my sister. She is my heart. I would see her healed of this burden so that she can take her rightful place among our people. And with her mind, Alian pushed a single thought toward Matok. I will call for you. If the need arises, I swear it. Very well, then, he said, rising to his feet. We will take a few moments to converse. Please, wait outside. Alian would have given anything to hear their conversation, but she knew at the core of her being that the answer would be yes. She felt as if this was a test for something much bigger than her sister's ability to speak clearly. The sisters and Abjilis stepped across the threshold to find the other healers of the village gathered outside, awaiting the answer. Alian became nervous. She dug her toe into the dirt and bit her bottom lip. The door to Xavier's dwelling swung open. The three elders stepped before the gathering crowd. Arthviel and Matok flanked Xavier. With their arms spread wide, they struck their stabs on the ground with the rhythm of a thundering pulse. Xavier spoke. Daughters of the Standing Stones, this eve, the eve of Samhain, we go to the circle with a unified intention to hold the vibration unwavering so that our daughter, Alian of the Red Hair, can find her way back to us. Gather your torches. Midday had come and gone. Long shadows obscured the path, leaving undefined edges and ankle-twisting ruts. Dabjila walked behind the three white-clad druids. Behind her, the whole of the healers followed, carrying unlit torches in preparation for a moonless night. Athene tightened her grip on Alian's hand and fell into step along with her sister at the tail of the procession. Members of the clan were robed in the colors which signified their station or level of expertise within the Order of the Standing Stones. It was like watching a striped serpent uncoil in all its glory. Saffron, ochre, red, and deep hues of brown and green faded one into another until it seemed they actually became a snake. A snake with three heads, gleaming pure white at the forefront. Arthviel and Matok closely flanked Xavier and in unison lifted then lowered their staves like huge fangs striking at some unseen enemy. The contingent of druids weaved their way along the path through the grove. Beyond it was a double-ringed, standing megalith, which graced the hilltop of an open field. This was the destination of the group. In the distance, the sun hovered at the horizon, threatening to sputter out of sight, taking the old year with it. Heaviness settled over Alian. The clan sang the song of the sun. The council entered the circle and stood on three sides of the blue stone slab in the center of the ancient ring. Alian was afraid, frightened that she would never come back, terrified that she would be lost, or worse, that she would leave her sister alone in the world, as Aroque had left them. She vanished into her thoughts, focusing on her breathing, until Athene was escorted to the slab and bravely laid down upon its unyielding surface. The air grew damp. Alian's hands shook. Dabjila approached from behind her and slipped the robe from her shoulders. It had been determined that Alian would enter the veil, clad in the same way she had entered this lifetime. Two of the clan poured herbed water over her body. She shivered in the dimness of dusk. Alian, without shame, strode to the center slab and stood at the head of the blue stone above her sister. With unstoppable determination, she set her intention in her mind as firmly as the stone circle itself was set in the ground. Athene's eyes closed, and she lay motionless while Arthfiel, Xavier, and Matok began to chant to the gods. Alian surveyed the circle. All members of the clan encircled this holy place. They sang, their voices creating a vibration that held the space within the stone circle's center from outside forces. Alian faced the cleft she had used once before. She centered her emotions, straightened her back, and held her palms out before her, inviting the space in the stone to open. When she lifted her hands, her cream-colored skin shone translucent, as if lit up from within. Auburn ringlets tangled in the breeze and caught on her eyelashes. Goose flesh rippled her bare backside and crawled like a snake over her nakedness. Darkness fell silently. The moonless night hung above the contingent. All things were ready. Alian narrowed her inner vision. Matok's voice crept into her mind. "Call upon Serdwin and the child's mother," it said. She prayed to Serdwin, the goddess most known for her ability to harbor healing knowledge. And then she prayed for Aroque's assistance. "Serdwin, goddess of knowing, healing mother of light, I call to you. Your humble servant wishes aid. On this night, the veil is thin. Serdwin, goddess of the night, the veil is thin. Part the way. Part the way. Part the way. Aroque of the white hair, hear me. Athene needs your care. Aroque of the white hair, free her. Aroque of the white hair, I come to thee. Serdwin, goddess of knowing, healing mother of light, I call to you. Your humble servant wishes aid. On this night, the veil is thin. Serdwin, goddess of the night, the veil is thin. Part the way. Part the way. Part the way. Serdwin, goddess of the night, the veil is thin. Part the way. Part the way. Part the way. Alian's purpose rotated in her mind, joined with her sister's name and the prayers. The three spiraled from each other, like the ancient symbol often carved in stone or drawn upon the ground. The pivotal point from this trinity was the blue stone, with Athene lying upon it, like steaming vapors from a shimmering cauldron, a mist lifted from the center blue stone, the ancient circle filled with cloudy murkiness. Somewhere in the distance, a wolf cried. It seemed a lonely howl, or was it a warning? Alion wondered as Arthfiel's concentration wavered for an instant, and then returned more resolute than before. The druidess sang. Alion prayed. The council chanted, and the veil lifted. Alion departed her body, connected to it only by a fine silver thread of light. She was aware of the stone circle and of the druids, but she was focused on two vaporous figures standing with open arms on the other side of the stones. Arok gestured to her, and she glided toward the two. The woman standing by Arok was elegant and graceful, auburn-haired, just like Alion, and with the same emerald eyes. Alion recognized her from her last crossing of the veil, but still did not know who she was. Maybe she's Saeldwyn, Alion thought. As she approached, she bowed with respect.
Tell us your problem, O great one.
The two spoke in unison.
Why do you seek the other world's knowledge?
Athene of the White Hair, daughter of Arok, does not speak clearly. We have tried to cure her, and nothing has worked. This is my last hope for helping her take her rightful place in the clan. Alion bowed her head and waited for their guidance. Arok was the first to speak. We know of her reluctance and her fear. The two spirits glanced at one another. A passing nod signaled their agreement. Reluctance and fear? Alion questioned with furrowed brows. The elegant-looking woman stepped forward. She laid her hand on Alion's shoulder. My child. Her emerald eyes gleamed with what Alion felt was love, without condition or judgment.
You must bring Athene's spirit here to us, so that we can help her.
How do I do that?
Follow the cord to the cleft. Matok will be waiting.
Strangely, Alion felt no doubt, no fear, and no hesitation. The young druidess turned, gliding toward the sound of chanting. As she approached the cleft, Matok was waiting. Athene was there with him, although Alion could see her still body on the stone slab. Her sister looked scared and unsure. Matok's voice pushed at Alion's mind.
Reach for her. Take her hand.
But what if...
I cannot cross into this place, Alion. Trust yourself. I will anchor you both in this realm, and Gretich will direct you on the other side.
Alion stretched out her hand. As her spirit touched Athene's, she could feel the timidness of her charge. She whispered reassurances, and the child crossed over. They glided toward Arok and the other woman, who Alion now knew was Gretich. Arok took Athene to her, clinging to the child as if she would never let go. The elegant woman, Gretich, joined in the embrace. Alion strained to hear their whisperings.
My child, I understand you are frightened.
Arok was speaking to Athene.
You must understand that you, yourself, made the choice to have this gift. But you do not create the voices you hear in your mind, or the visions you see behind closed eyes. I know what it is to have glimmers of the future. I, as your mother most of all, know what it feels like to listen to the sight. Athene, you must accept your gift and use it wisely. Alion will need your truths in the end. You will be instrumental in saving our faith. If you do not accept your gifts and become the truth-sayer, you will go mad. The choice, my daughter, is yours.
Arok looked into Gretich's eyes and then turned to Alion. Time is short. You must take her back now. The choice of healing is with her as always. Arok placed a soft kiss on Athene's brow.
I love you. Choose rightly.
Alion reached once more for Athene. This time, when their spirits touched, she could feel Athene's calm, her peacefulness, and a centeredness that was the likes of which she had never felt from her sister before. But as she turned to glide toward the cleft,
She felt suddenly weak. Her concentration wavered. She could not sense her way. Her vision clouded and then blurred. Fear filled her heart. Gretich approached Alian, smiling, and reassured her, "My child, call to Matok. Go this way." Before the elegant woman pushed Alian and Athene to the right direction, she whispered to Alian, "When it is time, bring the lion to me. Trust the wolf."
"I will," Alian replied.
"O great one, say these words over the Samhain feast fire, and you will raise in the ranks of our people." Alian weakly moved once more, but just as she neared the opening, she heard the voice of Matok.
"Alian, you must hurry."
"I cannot. I'm so tired."
"Alian, now,"
his voice demanded. Alian's spirit hit her body with such force that she fell to the ground. It felt like slamming into a stone wall. All went black. When her lashes lifted, the three high-ranking druids hovered above her. Someone had covered her nakedness with a cloak. She was exhausted, quivering with fatigue, and she had one question.
"Athene, is she here?"
The exhaustion was almost too much for her, but she held on to consciousness.
"I am here, my sister."
Her voice carried to the surrounding attendees, and it seemed each person had inhaled at the same moment. "You speak with the voice of a truth-sayer." Alian lovingly smiled at her sister. Matok leaned closer.
"Oh, great one, place this under your tongue."
He slipped a disc the size of a fingernail into her mouth.
"When you travel between worlds, you must partake of the returning world to regain your strength."
Alian at once felt better. The taste of earth in her mouth was clear. Robed in ochre, she rose to her feet. She walked hand in hand with Athene, leading the way back to the village. When all had arrived in the center of the village, torches were doused. It was Samhain, and the fire must be lit anew. The passage of time must be marked. Alian's name was spoken in low hushes at first, and then grew louder and louder. She felt the power of her name. Her strength returned. Without question or direction, she stepped forward, held out her right hand to the stack of wood at the center of the village, and called to the goddess of death and winter.
"Selak, 1 year comes to an end. All things must die to be reborn anew. With great respect, we ask for your blessings. Make well the earth with your cold staves' touch. Selak, our year comes to an end. Your deeds revered. Let the wind howl your name. Make well the trees so they may bear your fruit. Selak, 1 year comes to an end. All is in darkness in honor of your greatness. From your ancient womb, light our fires. Make well the sons and daughters of the standing stones."
A flash of light erupted from all directions at once. The central fire flamed. Within each dwelling, hearthlight flickered. The smell of burning wood filled the air, and the druids sang. The recorder snapped off. Andrea was jerked from trance. She quickly directed Eve from Alian's world with a count from 5 to 1. "Eve, before you reach zero, hear my voice. We are on Catalina Island, and you are safe in the 21st century. Come here now, but do not awake. Rest, my sister. We will talk in the morning." Eve heard clearly Andrea's voice. "Sleep, my sister, sleep. Sleep in the 21st century. Sleep and do not awake until morning. Sleep, zero."
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of The Mark of a Druid, and stop back again. Pick up the next episode at rhondacarpenter.com or themarkofadruid.com. So until next time, thanks and take care.